happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. Tell you what, it's crazy to think that it has been essentially 8 years ago now that I became a dad. It was Mother's Day 8 years ago that I remember us telling my mom and dad that Kathy was pregnant with Natalie at that time. And man, does time fly by, as at least the first person I ever heard this from was Kathy's dad, that the days are long, but the years are short. When it comes to being a parent, it's hard to believe that Natalie will be in second grade this next year already. You know, before becoming a dad, there was some things that I thought I knew what we were getting into, and then there was a lot of things that, oh, we were definitely not prepared for. You know, going into becoming a parent, you know babies don't really sleep through the night. But until you experience it, you don't know what sleepless nights, night after night after night, really are. I don't think anything can prepare you, unless maybe you had to take care of younger siblings or you were a really big babysitter. For the first time, you have to change a major blowout diaper where it has gone everywhere. Nothing quite prepares you for that. Nothing quite prepares you for when you really start to notice that your child's head really isn't quite straight and that they're constantly leaning like this. And you're not really sure whether it's something serious or not. And nothing quite prepares you for the relief that you feel when you find out that it's a common thing called torticollis that over time physical therapy can fix, and that 6-7 years later you would never know. Nothing quite prepares you for when your three-month-old gets RSV and their oxygen level is really low and ends up having to spend an entire week in the hospital. And then constantly after that, every 6 months it seems, would get pneumonia. And again, nothing quite prepares you for the relief when you finally have a doctor that says, yeah, they've got asthma, and thankfully, their asthma can be controlled through medication, and since then hasn't had a bout of pneumonia. You see, when we become parents, when we become dads, we know that there are going to be a lot of duties that we're going to have to undertake. And some of those things we can prepare for. I mean, I guess if you really wanted ahead of time, you could make sure that you wake up every 3 hours and stay up for 3 hours and just kind of be on that cycle. I don't know too many people that are going to go under that preparation ahead of time, though. So there are some things we can prepare for, and there are some things as dads that we cannot prepare for. I'm going to be upfront and honest with you this morning. When I first started preparing this message, it does kind of focus around the typical nuclear family. A mom, a dad, and kids. I want to acknowledge, however, though, that unfortunately in our culture today, that is not the normal family anymore. We have several situations. We have single parents, whether that's due to divorce or whether that's due to being a widow or a widower. We have grandparents that are raising their kids and not the parents that are raising their kids. We've got families where dad is the only one who really has a relationship with Christ and mom doesn't, and vice versa, where mom is the one that has a relationship with Christ and dad really doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And I want to acknowledge that, and I want you to hear me, that while today's message focuses on dads, Some of you moms, I realize, are also the dad in the family. And that, unfortunately, you're in a situation, due to whatever circumstances, there's so many different circumstances, where you're having to take on both responsibility of mom and dad. And so I want you to know this message is for you as well. Or maybe you don't have kids of your own, but there's someone that you see that needs that parental figure in their life, and you've kind of taken them under your wing. This is for you as well. You don't have to be a dad for this to apply to you, but I'm just kind of forewarning you. That is where my focus is today, is on you dads. See, today as dads, we have a tendency to believe that our number one priority in our family is this: to provide financially for them. As a matter of fact, in dual parent households, 85% of dads are the main breadwinner in the family. We see it as our responsibility to pay the mortgage or the rent, to make sure that there's food on the table, although someone else might be doing the grocery shopping. We make sure there's money in the account to buy it, to put clothes on the family's back, to make sure we can go and do fun things occasionally as a family. We see that as a priority to financially provide for them. And don't get me wrong, this should be a priority in our families. But the question is should it be number one? And have we made things necessities in our families that really aren't? Things that we feel we have to buy that really aren't needed, and in doing so, to get that money to provide those things, we've ended up neglecting some of our calling as fathers. I remember that before Natalie was born, we bought several books, and we read through maybe 10% of them, about pregnancy and about parenting, including, you know, the famous What to Expect When You're Expecting. What's great, though, is I want to tell you this, is nothing wrong with buying those books. But I believe that most, if not all of you in this room, already own, contain a copy of the one book that you really need for parenting: God's Word. And if you don't have a copy, make sure you see me, because we would love to put one in your hands. That God's Word contains the main guidelines of what we need to be good parents and to be good dads. One of my favorite passages, especially when it comes to being a father, comes from the book of Ephesians. Paul writes this, and I'm going to use Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message, for it, because I just love how he transforms in these words of Paul. He says this: "Fathers, do not exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master." Catch that? Take them by the hand. You see, in our family, when it comes to especially parking lots, we have one big rule with Natalie and Maddie: that they must grab mine or Kathy's or some other responsible adult's hand that is with us to walk through the parking lot. The reason for that is I can't tell you how many times, whether it's been on youth events or whether it has been just observation, I have seen kids almost run over and hit in a parking lot because they're just running right through it with no one taking them by the hand and leading them through. And it's not so much the people that's driving's fault, because kids are little sometimes, and you can't see them in your rearview mirror when you're backing up. And when they're running so fast, even your rearview camera on your vehicle might not give you enough time. We do it to protect them and to show them how to be careful in a parking lot. We take them by the hand to show them the proper way to stay safe. We don't just tell them be careful, we have to lead them in being careful. Going all the way back to when God was really establishing the kingdom of Israel following the Exodus out of Egypt. And he's setting up really the nation of Israel and he's giving them their laws. God sets forth an example of the leadership that parents, and I believe especially dads, are supposed to have in their family. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's one of the most famous passages in Deuteronomy. It contains the main commandment that even the Jews to this day really focus on, the Shema. And God says this to his people. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And then get this. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." See, from the beginning here, God is telling his people, you can't just talk about it. You've got to show them. You can't just be happy dropping them off at church on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights. It's got to be a constant thing in your family that you are showing and that you are leading them to God. Later on in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God explains why. He says this, he says, "In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, the decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him this. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. But the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." Did you catch that? What happens when we are careful to obey what God has commanded us? When we follow God, that will be our righteousness. See, Dad, so many of us, we see our number one priority in our family is to provide for them. But I want to challenge you this, that our number one priority, our number one duty as a dad is to raise righteousness. To bring our children up to know right from wrong in God's eyes. And to serve and to follow him. You see, I love what comes right before that as well. Another result of following God, he said, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. And I want to make something clear here. Well, God is giving these commands to the nation of Israel. This wasn't a command to necessarily a specific father and son. He isn't necessarily promising that you individually, when you follow God, will prosper financially. But he is saying this to the people of Israel, that when you as a nation, when you as a people, follow my commands, when you obey me and you follow me, I'm going to protect you. And I'm not only going to provide for you, but you will prosper as a people when you follow God. See, often we take on that role to protect, to provide. And to be honest, I think most of us don't just want to provide, or not just survive, but to thrive. We don't just want to provide, but we want to prosper. And God gives us the key to that. The dad's duty is to raise righteousness. And when we do that, and collectively as a group, as a people, we do that, we will be protected. We will prosper. Many think that a family is going to prosper by making more money. By making more money that you can invest, to save, to put into your IRA, to put in money markets, to put in all this other stuff. And to make that more, to make more money, you work more hours. Recently, I heard about a coworker of my brother's. Now, thankfully, this guy is single. Because this coworker, he works his 40 hours plus 70 hours of overtime every week. Let's do a little bit of math there. That is 110 hours a week he is working. The reason why he is working so much at this point is because he's single, and my brother works for, he's a corrections officer for the Missouri prison system. And the way they base their retirement is your pension is based off of your best 3 years' salary. So he's working everything to make sure his retirement goes well. But when you do that math, he's working 110 hours a week. How many of you know how many hours in a week there actually are? Anybody? 168, someone said it back there. That means if he actually sleeps 8 hours a night, which I doubt he does, that leaves him with a grand total of 2 hours to do everything else in a week. Now, you might not be to that extreme, and I hope that you're not. And like I said, I'm so grateful he's a single guy who basically has no other life. He doesn't have kids that he's trying to raise, because he wouldn't be spending any time with his family. He wouldn't be able to fulfill this role of raising righteousness. And so many dads, they might not be working 110 hours a week, but they might be working 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week. And the question is, for what? To have a bigger home that you never get to spend time in? A nicer car? Things that just fade away? You see, one of the keys I see in God's command to the Israelites is this. He basically says that in everything they do, they need to show them how God is in it. But for you to do that, guess what? Dad, you have to be there. If you're constantly at work or you're out and about with the guys, how can you fulfill your responsibility in raising righteousness in your family? Now, I do want to tell you this, because there's hope. a survey done back in 2013 shows that current dads are putting in just as many hours at work as the generation before us. Okay? So those of us that are dads now, we're not working any less than our dads did. We're putting in the same amount of work hours. However, the modern dad spends 3 times the amount of time with their children as did the previous generation. 3 times the amount. Even though working the same number of hours, they're spending 3 times as much time with quality time with their families and with their kids. Not only that, but 65% of dads, so about 2/3 of dads, see their role as not just the provider for their family, but as a caretaker for their kids as well. 85% of those dads feel that the parenting responsibility should be evenly split between mom and dad, even though only 30% of them feel they're successful at that. That the current generation, dads are stepping up and saying, I need to spend more time not just providing for my family, but raising my family. And the question for us as followers of Christ is how are we going to spend that extra time that we are spending with our children? And different dads are going to do this differently. For some, maybe it means throwing the ball back and forth or kicking it around in the backyard or whatever sport of choice it may be for you. Some it means going to the movies or watching TV together. Others, it's playing games, be it board games, video games, card games. For some of them, it means taking the time to teach them a skill, whether it be a trade or handyman work around the house or some other housework. Some it means taking extra time to travel. Whatever it is, we all choose to use this time differently. And as a general rule, it builds a better relationship with our children just because we're spending quality time with them. However, are we making use of this time to prioritize what God has really called us to? To raise righteousness. See, when God commanded the Israelites back then in Deuteronomy, he commanded the Israelites to basically have his commandments on the forefront of their minds no matter what they were doing. I mean, he said, tie them to their hands and bind them to their foreheads. And Orthodox Jews, actually, to this day, you'll see little books bound to their hands and their foreheads called phylacteries that contain God's word literally in them. Well, I don't think we need to go to that extent. God is saying that whatever you're doing, show them me. And what's great is we can do those things. We can spend those things I just mentioned, spending quality time with them, and use that as an opportunity to raise righteousness. I mean, sports can be a great thing, not just to encourage exercise and physical activity, but character as well. This last week, we were down at Kathy's parents' house, and their church puts on a couple of camps each summer for Upwards Soccer. If you're not familiar with the Upwards programs, they are faith-based programs that use sports to also teach them character skills and about Christ. You like spending time going to the movies, watching television? Man, those can be great teaching tools. I mean, when you think about it, there's the age-old question, does art imitate life or does life imitate art? And with that, what it shows is either way, they're connected. Which means that when we experience these entertainment things as art, it becomes an opportunity for great conversation. I want to point you to a resource. The next time you go to the movies with your kids, beforehand, check out a website called Plugged In. I think it's just pluggedin.com. If not, Google it, you'll find it. But Plugged In, it's a resource put out by Focus on the Family. And you know what they do? They get to preview movies ahead of time. And in it, they'll tell you all of the content of the movie. Okay, so you get a little heads up if there's foul language in it, if there's any adult-type scenes in it, if there's alcohol or drug use in it, the violence that is in it. It gives you a heads up on all that, but it also lets you know, here's some spiritual themes that are in this movie. Here's some things that maybe you can talk about with your kids following this movie about how, okay, what if you were put in that situation, what would you do? What would God have you do if you were in that situation? So all you dads out there today, if you're going to see Incredibles 2 as part of your Father's Day thing, I don't know if you are, I haven't seen it yet. Check out Plugged In before you go to the movies so you can talk with your kids afterwards. Man, teaching them trades and skills and housework, it doesn't just teach them hard work, but responsibility. And traveling, I'll tell you what, one of the most eye-opening experiences for me, and you don't have to travel to another country to experience this, but one of the most spiritually energizing or eye-opening moments for me is going into a completely different culture, getting out of my own element and seeing, man, how God really does love the world. And not just people that are like me. They could be completely different from me, and God loves them and cares for them. See, whatever we do, wherever we go, there are teachable moments for our kids to show them what God has done and what God is doing. And dads, it is our responsibility to be raising righteousness in our families. Because it's when we do that, and when we collectively as a group focus on God in our families, you don't need to worry about the financial stuff. Do you know what God promises? It says He feeds the sparrow. And if He's going to take care of the sparrow, you who are created in His image, in His likeness, He's going to take care of you so much more than the sparrow. When we focus on God and our families and raising our families in that, all the other stuff, we realize He takes care of. Steve and I both have found a lot of use out of an author out of, he's a preacher in Washington, D.C., Mark Batterson. We've done on Sunday nights, both our small groups have done Bible studies based off of some of his books. And about a year ago, put out this book called Play the Man. Every dad in this room, whether your kids are grown up or whether they're still young, I want to encourage you to check out this book. It spends the first half basically, it says, becoming the man God created you to be, talking about your role as a man. But the last four chapters of the book, he talks about what he has done with his sons to raise righteousness. And while I realize that in this church, somehow we've accumulated a lot of daughters and not sons, the principles are still relevant either way. About our role and our responsibility and how we can raise our kids to know and love God. But I want to encourage you to actually go the extra mile, to go the extra step, that don't just use those opportunities. As I said at the beginning of this message, you've been given the best parenting book there is, God's Word. And spending time in God's Word is going to start to be the best way to raise righteousness in your family. I don't remember who I first heard it from. I believe it was at a CIY event or something like that. And they said something along the lines of this. The most important thing you do might not be getting up in front of a bunch of people and preaching some amazing sermon. Might not be some great task or accomplishment that you have achieved. The greatest thing you may do may be who you raise. You might not be the one to do these things that you might not be the next Billy Graham. But who knows the power that will be unleashed in your child when you raise them to know the Lord. Today, as we celebrate dads, I clearly remember the day I was out of college. I was in my first ministry in Southern Illinois. When I went to Bible college, I took out student loans like most of us do, but my parents had also given me an interest-free loan. And I remember it was one night we were driving, they were visiting down in Southern Illinois, and Kathy and my mom, I think, were in another vehicle for some reason, and it was just me and my dad, and we were driving back to the apartment. And my dad turned to me and he said, "Hey, I want you to know something. You don't owe us anything for the loan for college. That debt's forgiven." And the reason why he said that was simply this. He said, "God has blessed me with a good job, a good paying job. And I believe it is part of my ministry and as a dad, to bless you and to bless your ministry." My dad saw my ministry as part of his. And I pray that part of my ministry is what Natalie and Maddie grow up to be and do. Because my prayer is that I am leading, I'm taking them by the hand to raise them in righteousness, to love our God, to serve Him, to follow Him, to trust Him. Dads, I want to encourage you, make that your priority. In your families, in your life, to raise righteousness. Here in a minute, we're going to pray, and then after that, we're going to have a song of encouragement. Now, I just want to encourage you during that time, maybe you've never accepted the love of our Heavenly Father, the perfect Father, and you're ready to make that commitment. We would love to talk with you further about that. Maybe you realize I haven't been the dad or the parent that God has called me to be, and you just want us to pray for you. We would love to pray with you for that. Or maybe you have some other decision or calling on your heart. When we sing that song, I just want to encourage you to come forward so that we can talk and pray with you. But let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've blessed me with an amazing earthly dad who has raised me to know you, who has taken me by the hand, who has shown me your incredible, amazing love. And God, I realize that not everyone is so fortunate. And God, I just pray that you be with the people in this room, the dads in this room, even the moms in this room, when there's not a father in their children's lives to step up and take that role, to be like Timothy's mom and grandma who raised Timothy to know you. Help us to serve you, to follow you, to lead our families, and to raise righteousness. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.